The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. And just like that, we are back. And if you are on time, you are late. I always start the show early so you don't hear what I originally say from the beginning, from the top. This is Brandon Marshall, your host. I'm sitting in this beautiful studio in sunny South Florida with super producers. We got Andrew out west. We got BC in the booth. And we also have two amazing guests. We have a future two-time Sports Emmy Award winner in Ted Prescott. Don't call him Dak Prescott's brother. He's going to have more silverware than Dak Prescott when it's all said and done. Dak will probably have, he'll probably have one Lombardi trophy. That's good enough, Ted, right? One Lombardi trophy. And then Ted is going to have two Sports Emmys within the next 3 years. How does that sound, Ted?
That sounds amazing, man. Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning. And we also have one of the smartest teammates I've ever had, and that's Bobby Hart. And I talked to you guys about Bobby Hart last week. Bobby Hart joined us. Bobby Hart talked about all sports. We talked a little bit about culture. But this is a gentleman who bets on every sport. That's why he knows every sport. He in Vegas. Bobby's like, who do you think is going to win? Who's the fighter? What fighter? But Bobby knows basketball, women's and men. He knows golf. He knows tennis. He knows hockey. He knows baseball. He bets it all. Football. He played one of my favorite teammates with the New York Football Giants. And also, fun fact, we got on him about his 40-yard dash last week. Last week we said, Ted, remember, 5'6". No, it was the quarterback from the University of Tennessee, Joe Milton.
Yeah.
5'6", 40, Ted. This guy ran a 5'6", 40 in 2014.
Go check Wikipedia.
And then, there we go.
Go check it.
This guy, within 48 hours, got Wikipedia to change his 40-yard dash down to a 5.140.
You see it. I didn't do it.
You did it.
I did not.
How did you get it done? Who did you call?
Hey, just go check Wikipedia. It's like you checked it the first time. Check it this time.
Just check it again.
5.1.
5.1.
I was going to go 4.1, but...
So you changed it.
I figured it'd be too noticeable.
Hey, guys. So welcome to the show. This is Brandon Marshall, your host. This is SiriusXM, Faction Talk, Channel 103. Okay? There's a little bit of things that we got to hit before we jump in the show. I want to start with Drake. Drake is taking this beef to a whole other level, it seems to be. But before we get there and we talk about Drake, Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark last night did her thing. Bobby, you text me early in the morning. What did you text me in the morning, and what did you tell me after we worked out yesterday?
Iowa Hawkeyes by a landslide.
By a landslide.
Landslide.
So can you give me your perspective or give me your thoughts on how this game actually went down and what happened? What did you see?
Caitlin just took over. I mean, you heard what Makoki said after. She said, you know, even last year when we beat them, she killed us. She came back. She was on a vengeance.
Vengeance.
Spreading the ball around. Looking like Steph Curry out there. Trey balls from everywhere falling.
Crazy.
It was awesome. It was a great performance by her getting over that hump last year.
Right.
You know, it definitely meant something for her, you know, losing to LSU. But I think this next game is going to be bigger for her because, you know, she wanted to go to UConn.
Didn't know that.
She wanted to go to UConn.
Didn't offer.
They didn't even talk to her.
Wow. Wow.
Pay you back.
So.
Was she going to drop 50?
Oh, shit. She's coming for them. She's coming for the next.
She's coming for the next. She almost dropped 50 last night.
She's coming.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch last night, BC?
I did. You did? Yes.
You did watch.
Did you
enjoy the game?
I did enjoy the game. It was exciting. What you mean, did I enjoy the game? Of course I enjoyed the game, man.
What happened? How did LSU blow it?
I don't know. They just didn't have any answers. And then whoever I forget the girl's name that was guarding Caitlin Clark. She was just getting burnt all. She was just getting burnt all night.
Van Pelt.
Yeah, her.
Van Cleef.
You know,
Flajay had her in the rap.
Yeah. Right?
Van Cleef. Van Cleef ain't have an answer.
Van Cleef.
She was Van Cleef. She was.
Kristen
she was on her wrist.
She was on her wrist. Ted, did you watch the game last night?
Of course. Yes.
What was your thoughts on Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Buckeyes?
Same thing, man. She took over. Like I said, I give Caitlin's extremely cocky, so I give her a little bit of shit sometimes because I want her to keep that same energy throughout the entire tournament. I really thought LSU was going to repeat as champions this year, and to see her, what she did last night, like I said, not only the 41, but she got help last night that she didn't get last year. And like he said, going to watch her play UConn next week is going to be a good game, but you know, she still has a lot to prove. Yeah, you still got to go through UConn and Page, and if you could do that, you still got South Carolina. So I just want her to keep that same energy because it ain't over yet.
Oh, right. Yeah. So now it's down to, it's UConn in it. It's Iowa.
Yeah, NC State.
NC State.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina. Yeah.
South Carolina, they lost a game. They haven't lost a game in, what, a couple years?
36 straight right now, yeah. I think. 36 or 37.
They lost this year.
They're taking it.
So you said that you thought LSU would do it again? And
I did. I just thought they would repeat just off of the season that they had last year, and then they brought in Michaela, who was like the number one player with Juju coming in last year. They were able to get the transfer of a point guard. I think she came from Louisville or something. So I really did think they were going to repeat it. Now, of course, as the season played out, that changed. But I'm just saying, like, my preseason, I thought LSU had a real good shot.
Yeah, but why are y'all sleeping on South Carolina, though?
Nah.
Who?
Everybody's sleeping on South Carolina. They're going to take it.
They don't like sleep on them at all.
Yeah,
Dawes Taylor got
it.
That team rolling.
BC, you got South Carolina taking it?
I got South Carolina. I got South Carolina and UConn in the
championship.
You say Paige gonna knock off Caitlin?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Paige a dog too now.
There you go. I mean, I thought it was a special night in sports, not just women's basketball. But last year around this time, this was a cultural social phenomenon. LSU versus Iowa, it goes down. Black versus white. It brought the country together, but it also divided the country. And it created a lot of conversation all the way to the White House. And the first lady, she tried to invite both. You can't do that. We've never seen that before. We're a champion. So the tradition in America is this, for all of you guys out there who may be new to America in sports. If you win a championship at the college level, at the collegiate level, at the pro level, you will get an invite. But you only get an invite if what, Andrew?
If you win,
but that didn't happen last year between Iowa and LSU. She decided to invite Mrs. Biden, Flo.
President, Flo Biden.
The first lady. Let me get it correct.
Yeah, yeah,
the first lady
yeah.
said, you know what? We're going to invite everyone. Created a shit show. So to see where we were last year to this year is a beautiful thing. I was anticipating a little bit more drama. Yeah. I wanted a little bit more drama, a little bit more suspense. I wouldn't have been mad if a fight broke out, right? Because last year it was intense, and it put this huge spotlight on the sport, and it pushed the sport forward. Yeah. And the ladies, what they did after, it was tremendous. So it was a great game, but I was expecting a little bit more drama, and I'm happy for Caitlin Clark. And she deserves it. The Iowa Buckeyes, they deserve it, and it's going to be fun to watch the Final Four. I will be tuning in for the Final Four. Yeah. I will.
Congratulations. I will. Go ahead.
Yep.
Oh, no, you were saying congratulations to Iowa, but I was going to say, I wonder who the Final Four is going to be with Drake, Kendrick, Lamar. You know, like, who's going to be that Final Four? But we recently saw a video of Drake. He had a prop head, right? And it was a prop of Travis Scott. And like a huge prop. Remember from Astroworld how he kept doing his head with the wicks? So like he had a prop like that hanging in the air, and during one of his songs he actually aims at it like he's shooting it, and he goes pop 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 pop, and he walks around and, you know, continues to sing the song. So a lot of people made this go viral last night, and I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this.
Right. So let's throw it to our culture creator, not creator. He is a He's somewhat of a culture creator because you never know what BC's working on in the back. BC in the booth might be shooting a movie. Yeah. He might be producing. Hold on. That was a pause. That wasn't a pause.
What he working on in the back? Whoa. No Diddy.
Oh my God.
On that yoga.
So.
Rewind.
What I was trying to say is you could be working on a movie, you could be producing a song, right? So you are a culture creator. But on this show, you are a culture contributor. So walk us through this saga, this big three, big four saga that's happening in hip hop. Some are saying that this is a defining moment in hip hop.
It could be, as far as where we're going now, and, you know, going forward.
I totally made that up. Nobody said that shit.
That's all I'm saying. Okay,
but it sounded
like,
good.
It sounded good.
I was like, let me go with you on this one.
I'm like, yeah, let me go with you on this one. Okay, yeah. I mean, it could be just as far as, like, the future of this part of hip-hop, the battle and the competition part and stuff like that, but... So yeah, for anybody who's kind of like just trying to get up to speed, obviously Kendrick released this song with Metro Boomin and Future. Well, Metro Boomin and Future actually released the song featuring Kendrick Lamar, which he took shots at Drake and some say J. Cole, but really mostly at Drake, right? So fast forward, everybody's unfollowing. We have this whole thing now of people unfollowing Drake. Other people are coming out and saying that they're not, you know, subliminally saying that they're not fucking with Drake. Now, the Travis Scott, where Travis Scott comes into this now is before the release at Rolling Loud, the release of this song, he was on stage now egging them on, Metro Boomin and Future, and telling them to play the actual track.
But didn't he do a song with Drake last year?
Right. So, I mean, he has several songs with Drake. I mean, Sicko Mode.
They all do.
You know what I mean? Sicko Mode is one of the best hip-hop songs ever, right? So they have a relationship and they constantly work together. So it's a little bit
messy
as to why Travis Scott took it upon himself. Even you heard the song, you knew the song, but he took it upon himself and was actually trying to get this song played in front of millions of people. So I'm sure Drake took exception to that. And so now here we are in that part of the feud. Now, everybody's chiming in. We also have Ye putting himself now into this. He also put a post explaining all the reasons why he's top him, right? So
top Ye.
Top Ye. So we have him getting into it now. So, yeah, now it's starting to get a little, you know, competitive. Everybody wants to claim that crown. I like it. Go at it. I want to see Ye, Drake, Cole, everybody kind of doing it. Because remember, J. Cole also had a song that was kind of going at Ye. He's also come out and had his issues with Ye over in the past too, about Ye just kind of be false prophets. Wait, is what it was.
Okay. So somebody got to drop a diss track, bro.
So
it's
now,
coming.
Yeah.
Pause. So,
well, apparently Kendrick has a diss track already loaded. So I don't know if you know Chubbs, which is Drake's right hand man. He also tweeted the other day, like, drop it. You know what I mean? So now it's going on. But the word on the street is that Kendrick is already locked and loaded, ready for them.
There's a couple things right now. Bobby, Ted, like, why is everybody going against Drake? Think about it. Rick Ross unfollows him. It's like everybody came together and said, is this the biggest hatery that we ever seen? Like, he's been at the top for so long, and now everybody come together and say, let's go at Drake?
This is
Drake.
Definitely,
it's Drake versus the
Avengers.
The genre.
Yeah.
ABC, yep. I got a question. With everybody going at Drake,
mm-hmm.
how close does this put him to Hov?
Ooh.
I would say, I mean, it definitely puts him in that sort of light of like, everybody's gunning for you. You know what I mean? Everybody's trying to shoot at the top. You know what I mean? Knock the crown off the king's head type of thing. So, yeah, Drake talks a lot. He does, you know, walk around with, yo, I'm that nigga. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it kind of puts him in that light. But he still got a ways to go to touch. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
He still got a ways to go to touch.
Based off your argument, BC, he on stage shooting up heads. He telling people he want the smoke. So, based off the conversation we had last time, he's now number one.
Ah,
I like that.
I see what you did there. I see what you're trying to do there. But he ain't say nothing. He went out there and
he
had
to.
Yes,
he
does.
He let nothing do it right
now. Actions are louder than words.
Bro, you're shooting up props. I don't want to see you shooting up props, bro. I want to see what you got to say. Like, that don't
hear the song.
Yeah, that don't impress me. That doesn't. That don't impress me.
I feel you.
Go out there, get in the booth. I want to hear what you got to say back. That's it. Don't get out here and act tough on stage with the, I'm shooting up props. Because first of all, you're not shooting anything. Second of all, just get in the booth and let's hear it. That's it. Let's just hear what's going on.
Word is that the reason why he's not dropping, though, is because of what happened with Pusha.
Mm.
He don't want to have him hit him back so hard and then it just, like, destroy the whole competition. Like, the whole... Like, I mean, when Pusha dropped the story of Addie Don, the beef was over. I'm sorry.
Hold on. You're saying that Drake doesn't want to drop or Kendrick?
Drake doesn't want to drop.
Why?
Because he wants Kendrick to go first, so he now knows what he knows. Because, you know, this is a battle. So
right.
Once you release, like, oh, you got a kid, you hiding a kid from the world, whatever it is, right?
Right, right.
Now he can respond at a higher level versus he responds, and then they kill him on the response.
You shouldn't be worried about that. If you nice, and he already shot a shot. So you just gonna wait to get hit again before you shoot
correct,
back? Correct, bro. That don't make no sense, bro. Like, you get that, yeah, like, go out there and get the smoke.
Let me ask y'all this, and it's open for anybody. That was above line, right?
Yeah. That was cool.
Okay. That was gender neutral. Right,
so I was thinking about this. Drake is Drake. But depending on how, when you're in a battle, and like your legacy is at stake, we've seen this before. We've seen Ja Rule career ended, pretty much going at it with 50. And there's other examples in history, BC, that you can probably take us through. Drake is him, but he's in a battle. If he doesn't respond correctly, especially going like there's three or four dudes attacking him right now,
mm-hmm.
could this potentially take a little bit off of his legacy if he doesn't respond correctly?
Nah, because Drake got the numbers, man.
Think about it. Hold on, BC. Don't just respond just right away.
Okay.
Like, think about it. Nas and Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Drake.
50 and Ja Rule.
Nas and Jay what? Nas is still out here prospering, thriving, flourishing. Like,
it took him a minute to come back.
Nah, Nas won that. Come back from what? Like, I'm a whole fan, but that battle, Nas won that. Like, let's come on. Like, we're not even going to play with Ether.
Ether was a beast.
We're not even going to play with Ether like that. Like, that's
right. What? Ether was a beast.
Yeah. Like,
that's the greatest.
Like, that happened. Yeah. Like, that happened. Let's not pretend that didn't happen. Like, that happened. So, yeah. No, Drake is Drake, man. Drake does what he does. He's successful. He is one of the top artists in the world. His songs do ring. He does sell. He has the fan base. Like, Drake is that guy. Like, let's not get it confused. I'm just talking about in the world of rap, and we talking about hip hop, and people are coming at your neck. What you got to say? Because when it was with Meek, you ain't waste no time. Pusha, you tried that. You got punched in the mouth.
Technically,
You ain't really come back, you know, say too much. He's dropped some subliminals to Push. He still be saying shit here and there, but nothing is topping what, you know, the story added on, referred to. And then, yeah, like, you got Kendrick, you got these niggas, you got Future, you got Metro Boomin, everybody, oh, we don't trust you. We just want to hear good music. I want to hear the comeback, see what you got. Drake is at the top, but they coming for your throne, so you're going to protect your throne. That's it.
There we go. There we go. And that's our culture talk for today. Oh, watching a little Madden here on the Pat McAfee show here in the studio. Yeah, I did a triple jump. But we're going back to our show, and in our show, we got to introduce a new segment or a new day.
Yeah, new day.
Tat Tuesday. Ted Tuesday, great job, BC. The sniper, the PR sniper, came up and said, why don't we just do Ted Tuesday? Let's make it make sense. So we got Ted Prescott here. Obviously, we introduced him earlier. There's a lot to talk about with Ted. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk culture. We just did that, obviously. But when it comes to Ted, we have to talk about the Cowboys when he's on. That's the benefit of having him, or that's the edge that we have on any other show, is we got Ted Prescott to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. As we know, they're always in the news. Today, always. Yesterday, back in the news, Andrew, back in the news. So we got Ted to respond to some of this stuff that is being thrown out there around surrounding the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Ted, and welcome back to the show, man. We're glad to have you on Tad Tuesdays here. But we have some harsh criticism for actually Micah Parsons that we received yesterday. According to Yahoo, an anonymous NFC coach ripped into the Cowboys star saying, when the Cowboys are winning, Micah is a Hall of Fame player. When the Cowboys need him the most, he's pretty average. So Trevon Diggs was quick to defend Micah, calling the anonymous coach pathetic. Parsons has posted at least 13 sacks in each of his first three seasons. However, he has only one sack in four career playoff games. So does this coach have a point about Micah, Tad?
This is a tough one because it's like yes and no. Does he have the right to say that Micah is a Hall of Famer in big-time moments? Yes, because, I mean, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this because it's like it's what he said is true, but it's not because you can say that about any team and any player in the NFL. When a team is really good and they're beating the shit out of people and they look amazing, most of the time their star players on their team look like Hall of Famers. They look like the guys that are getting the job done. When they're losing, I mean, this is the same stuff people say about Dak. So when they're losing, you can point to anybody. You can pick, pick and choose where you think they've slowed down at. But for me, again, this goes back to like what we talked about with coaching at times and other things, because with the 1-3 sacks in four games or whatever, it's like, where's the adjustments? Because obviously the other team has made an adjustment to take Micah out of this game. So where is the adjustment on our end as a defensive coordinator, as a defensive coach, to make sure that they can't continue to take advantage of getting Micah out of the game? So, I mean, we saw it in Green Bay where they completely just ran away from Micah. Like I said, at points they weren't even trying to block him because they knew we're getting as far away from Micah in this play as possible. And we've seen it in previous years. So like I said, it's fair to criticize a player. It's not fair to criticize a player when they're losing, especially if you're not going to put your face and your name to it. That's the bullshit to it. Don't come with this anonymous shit, because Micah's also up for a contract. And it always seems like when a Cowboys player's up for a contract, we always get these anonymous reports of, well, they're not this, they're not that. But in the beginning, Micah was the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. Micah, again, 13 sacks in the last three seasons, Pro Bowl, constant All-Pro. So to try to criticize this man with your face behind the curtain is kind of bullshit. So, I mean, like I said, to criticize him is fair, but if you're going to, put your name on it.
So, Ted, as a analyst, as a fan of football, as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, because your brother plays for the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of times we're in positions outside looking in where we're like, especially as fans, Ted, outside looking in, we're in the stadium or we're at home watching the games with our family, with our popcorn or blanket over there. We're into it. And we're like, damn, this is a big moment. I need CeeDee Lamb to step up. Or where is CeeDee Lamb? Or damn, he stepped up. He made the play. In these big moments, we're expecting our superstars to stand up. Have you ever felt in big moments or big games, playoff games, where you're like, we need a sack. And it's like, oh, where's Micah? And it didn't happen. Or
no, because honestly.
Nope. Sorry, guys. We lost Tad there for a little bit. We'll try to get him back.
Okay, but do you understand what I, like, basically, we'll get Tad's audio back. But what you, Bobby, you know this, man, that as a player, even within the locker room on a team, we sit there and we look around like, all right, we know this. Oh, when we play with OBJ,
yeah.
You play with OBJ.
Where you at?
Because that will say it all.
Yeah,
if Ted would have said, like, yeah, there was moments where I was like, damn, he let us down. Then, okay, maybe this is true. But I don't really buy into this. We talked about it yesterday, bro. I mean, he's a big-time player. And when you get into those big moments, what are they doing in the postseason? They're going to try to take you out of the game. They got you. They ain't going to let you beat them. So how do you feel as an offensive lineman, guy that played 7 years, several teams, playing against some of the best, do you consider him one of those guys that ball out in the regular season but may not show up in the postseason?
Well, I feel like Tad made a great point, because it's like when you're in the playoffs and you're going against a guy like Michael Parsons,
yeah,
you're not about to let him beat you. So it's a game plan for this guy. We're going to confuse him. We're going to run away from him. We're going to chip him. We're going to run at him. Like, whatever it may be, it's something for us. So I don't think that it's 100% on Michael Parsons for him not to have, you know, the production that he has in the regular season in the playoffs, because it's more on the table. You know, it's real, real serious that you know what Michael Parsons can do to you. You can single-handedly take the game over. Mm-hmm. And going into a game, you're going to be the offense. You're going to be the offensive line coach that let Michael Parsons be the reason why you lose the game. That's not happening.
Not happening. So have you played against Micah?
No, I have not.
You have not?
No.
Watching film? Have you watched him on film?
Right.
You studied him?
Yes.
How would you game plan against Micah? What do you do against a player like this? And if you played against a guy that compares to him, how did you guys game plan against him?
I say like a TJ Watt is somebody that I would compare to, you know, Michael Parsons can play on the ball, can play off the ball. There's been plenty of times where you know, they line him up off the ball and blitz him or drop him or whatever it may be. But definitely a lot of running away from him.
Like, I'm like, Bobby's like, shit.
use your speed.
Hey, run the other way, something like, and you know, take him out the game. You know, as much as it's a mental game, I mean, a physical game, it's a mental game as well. So let's get him a little frustrated where he's not able to make plays, and then let's pick and choose when we do make, you know, run at him. And then, are we not leaving our guy one on one with him? We got a tight end next to him.
Yeah,
you know, we got a halfback coming to hit him in the ribs. Like, you got to play chess out there.
Before we go back to you, Ted, because we lost you a little bit there and want you to finish your thoughts, but Bobby, what was the dopest game plan that you got, that you as an offensive lineman went into a game with where it's like, yo, this shit is dope. Like, what we just put in, what coaches put in, how we going to, you know, slow down a TJ Watt? How we going to slow down a Bosa? How we going to slow down Mac, right? Like, what was, like, the dopest strategy?
I'll probably say Zach Taylor at the Bengals. Like, it wasn't a lot of drop back pass, but we were still passing the ball. So it was a lot of play action, a lot of things married, a lot of things looked exactly the same where, you know, a guy didn't know that it was a pass, right? He couldn't get geared up and, you know, line up in that line, that wide nine technique and get off on the ball. It was a lot of pushing the ball down the field, early downs, not waiting until third down. So I definitely say Zach Taylor. I'm going to say his first year at the Bengals, maybe a second. I can't remember what it was, but it was just great game plans over and over again, just as far as helping his line, going against great linemen.
See, this is what I Am Athlete is about. Like, I'm actually interested. I'm gonna come back to you, Ted. I'm gonna come back to you, but I got one more question. This is really good, because like a lot of times we're in our segments. So when you get to the facility, what happens is you have a special teams meeting first for about 45 minutes to an hour. Then the offense, the entire team comes together, right? Mm. Head coach in front presenting what we got to do for the day, game plan, blah, 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 blah. From there, we go into our units, right? And that's offense and defense meetings. Everybody's together. So we go into our defensive plan, our offensive plan. After that, then we go into our segment rooms, our segment meetings. Wide receivers, quarterbacks, DBs, running backs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, everybody go in their own rooms, got their own space. And now they break down their game plan to the T for them, right? So a lot of times we don't know what they're doing. They don't know what we're doing. The great players do. The great players know what all 11 or all 22 on the field, their responsibilities are. Yeah. But the reality is you can be an all-pro and make a shit ton of money just knowing your job. That's what Bill Belichick said. Just do your job. Fuck, I trust Bobby is going to pick up Micah Parsons, and I'm going to run this 15-yard comeback, and, you know, this quarterback is going to put it on – Eli Manning is going to put it on the money, right? But a lot of times we don't know. So, Bobby, you know, I'm really – I did all of that. That was a soliloquy?
Soliloquy.
Soliloquy. I did all of that. Like, sometimes I over-communicate just to ask this one question.
Be like three words.
You were drafted by the New York Football Giants in 2015. You played there for a couple of years, so you missed Micah Parsons by a few, right? Let's put you in that – back in the Giants against Micah Parsons. One-on-one, you got no help, no game plan. How are you going to attack Micah Parsons, or how are you going to go up against Micah Parsons? What's going through your mind?
Pass play, third down. Like, you got to give me a little bit more than that. Like,
is I got to give you more.
Yeah, scenario, yeah.
Because it's run play, pass play.
Give, all right, let's go. First down, and just run, simple run. Coming at him.
Oh, coming at him. We going right at him. You got to stay inside out. You know, if you make an inside move, he in the backfield and he acting bad now. He even made a tackle for loss.
He acting bad.
if it's in Dallas, everything roaring. So you got to listen. If he gonna beat you, he gonna beat you outside. You're not beating me inside. So that's how I'm gonna attack. You got to get off the ball, inside out. Do not get beat inside.
Right. Yeah. All right, everybody in the stadium know it's pass. Ooh. Gotta pass.
Ooh. You one on one.
You one on one.
Are you trying to limit these situations? Listen, because I mean, at the end of the day, you playing a numbers game, right? But you gotta have it again inside out. The quickest way that he can beat you is inside, and he knows that. So if you look at him, a lot of his thing, he threatens offensive tackles with inside moves,
right?
And sometimes he still wins outside, but it's, you know, he has the offensive tackle thinking that he's gonna go inside. So you know, you gotta get out there, get to the spot, keep your feet moving, and trust your technique. At that point,
trust your technique. Have you ever been in the game saying, "Fuck this technique"? Yeah. This technique is shit.
Hey, listen, at that point, this man, ain't working. Listen, it's coming fast. It's coming a thousand miles per hour at that point, man.
So,
lastly, hope the quarterback and the receivers need to be doing their job.
Get to their spots. I ain't got much time. Spot here.
And quarterback need to get the ball out.
So, Ted, what? I don't know if you heard us, but you went your audio.
Yeah.
You know, we got to upgrade our internet down here in sunny South Florida. But what I was trying to get to with that question was, like, if as a fan, sometimes, like, we feel all the emotions, right? Mm-hmm. When we're sitting there. And Bobby and I were talking about it. Even as a player, we're on the sideline and we in those got to have it moments, those big moments. You're like, you know, Bobby then went to OBJ, like, all right, OBJ, here we go. Come on. Need this. If you were ever in a moment where you needed that sack, you knew the Dallas Cowboys needed that play, and you're like, Micah Parsons about to show up. He got to show up, but didn't show up. Then it's like, all right, well, maybe what this executive saying is true. So have you ever felt that in the biggest moments, game is on the line, postseason, where Micah Parsons was like, it didn't happen?
No, and I'm glad you said it that way, because, like, I heard everything you were saying and I was trying to get there right before you get off. It's like you just said, I've never been disappointed in Micah, because in where of those playoff games have we had that situation? Like, honestly, where have we been in that situation of a playoff game where it's like, we need this sack right now? And honestly, we haven't had that, because Micah, just like most DNs or you know, guys that play that line, are best when they can pin their errors back and go. And so we see that in scenarios where the Cowboys are up two touchdowns or they're up three touchdowns, where with games like the Green Bay Packers last year, or, you know, this year in San Francisco last year, we never really gained those leads and we never really put ourselves in a position to let those guys pin their ear backs. And what I'm get with that is that with him not being able to pin his ears back, the other coach was still able to keep his game plan on Micah. That's what I'm trying to get with that. It's not that, like, oh, we need Micah right now on this. He needs to get to this sack. It's the fact that this coach right now, we can't just send everybody, and that coach isn't in a situation where he's like, shit, we have to get this first down. Most of those situations, it's like, hey, we need 3 yards. Hey, we need to just get this 4 yards. So you're able to keep Micah out of that. And I like what Bobby was saying about, you know, you got to trust your technique, because – Now I'm really about to sound like a fan because I sound like I'm bitching, but bro, Micah, there's so many missed holding calls on Micah. And even in some of those moments where you think, okay, Micah's about to get back here and get this sack, you see it. If you go slow down the tapes, these guys are literally grabbing Micah around his shoulders. They're pulling onto his belt.
That was probably
and
Bobby.
I don't know, again.
Hey, whatever is necessary.
You know, whatever it is to stop him, they stop him. But he seems to be one of those guys that, especially a guy who has that star power, who has that star light on him, that doesn't get those calls.
Right,
we don't see those high end DNs that have that light on them that don't get those calls. And for whatever reason, Micah seems to be one.
Right. Yeah. Hey, can you keep the wide, BC? BC, go back to Ted's wide. All right. Ted, I don't know if this is a good idea for you to have your safe in your wide. Like, you have your safe behind you. Is that a safe?
That's a gun safe, sir.
Oh, okay.
That safe got its own protection.
I want to say, what's in there?
The safe is safe in right
the
now.
The safe is safe.
The safe is safe. I promise you.
Mr. Right.
Yeah. Hey, don't go up in Ted's house. Ted, shooting first, asking questions last.
Look, like you said, it like it too.
That ain't nothing but
Hey, Ted, stand your ground, brother. Stand your ground.
Hey, Ted, about that. You can see how he answered.
Ted, where you at? You in Texas?
I'm in Texas, yes, sir.
That's right. You see his face?
Don't mess with Texas.
Come here playing if you want to.
It's two different kinds of shotguns, ARs, 308, handguns. It's full, Bobby. It's safe.
Oh my God. No, don't mess with Texas, y'all.
Don't mess with Texas. But while we're on that, topic, obviously, look, you see he's practicing safety, got him in a safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother conversation. I don't know where people stand on gun laws and all of that other stuff, but make sure you guys are protecting yourselves, meaning by if you have a gun, put it up and do the right things by it, because this is life or death situations a lot of time. Bobby, I want to ask you a question before we go to the next thing, Andrew. Talking about Micah Parsons, and there was an executive that came out that said Micah Parsons is a Hall of Famer until they get into those big moments, right? So I think we just debunked that. We have an offensive lineman here to play 7 years. We have Ted Prescott, one of our football contributors. Now, where are we working on that? We got to send over a contract.
We got to
figure this out. But right now, we're speaking it into existence. Ted is one of our football contributors. And so we had that discussion. So as we were talking about this, the thing I thought about was like, damn, let me ask Bobby his top five guys that are unblockable. Right? Like, who are the five guys? And guys you played against, played with, or maybe not even played at all, but you studied them from afar, right? Who are the five guys, defensive ends, maybe linebackers, that are unblockable?
Are we not going to say unblockable?
No, unblockable, bro.
Nobody then. Nobody's unblockable.
Come on now.
You can block people.
That's, TJ, hey, that's a true offensive line.
One-on-one. Tell me.
That's what I'm saying.
This is unblockable. This is unblockable to me. This is unblockable to me. 10 reps.
Yeah.
10 reps.
Yeah.
They win 6.
That's unblockable?
That's unblockable. That's unblockable. That's like you said, I think TJ Watt is unblockable. Like anybody gets one-on-one.
All right, listen, I'm a lineman, so I can't say unblockable. But toughest to block, TJ Watt is definitely number one.
That's what I thought, too.
He up there. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, and then the jump that he made from his first year to the second year was like, first year he was like, the second year, he was like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? Bro, just the way that he, you know, I don't know if it's the defense or, you know, the system, the way that he's able to, you know, get off the ball and just relentlessly get after the passer he's definitely special.
What's the superpower? Is it speed? Is it power? Is it both?
I think more so it's like mental. You can tell he knows what's going on. Mm. Like you can tell he studies film. He knows when to take the inside move. Or like he you know, some people, young guys, they'll young guys, you know, they'll shoot their shot early.
Right.
They'll give you what you got early. They best move to get early. But he gonna wait. You know, he might lull you to sleep a little bit just to make that play and you know, get them towels waving. So
bro, he ain't saying, you gotta grow up.
I'm waiting. Hold on.
You know, I actually do have a question, though, from the way
hold
you
on,
asked
I
wanna, it.
Go ahead.
I want you just to list three players.
Okay.
Who has the best mental strength? Who has the best strength? Obviously defensive players, and then who has the best speed?
Hold on. VC, so fuck my question.
It's based around your question.
Can I get my five first? Oh, then we go. All
right. TJ Watt, Aaron Donald.
TJ Watt.
Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald.
He retired, bro.
Aaron Donald. Okay. Aaron Donald probably before TJ, okay. Honestly.
Yes.
All right, so Aaron Donald, TJ, Miles. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence is up there,
bro. Yes, Brandon. Don't make that.
Hey, listen, that's not even because, bro, that's just because of my days in New York, bro. Like, that's not even because Tad on the show.
Right.
Like, DeMarcus, because you got to, like, a lot of guys, you know, they kind of chill in the run game. DeMarcus Lawrence, he turned up in the run game.
Wow. Like, Thank you, Bobby, man.
I'm telling you, bro, you really got to block this man, bro.
You really got to block him. He was a DN, and he's killing that shit. Thank
bro,
you,
bro. Yeah, listen. DeMarcus Lawrence is really good. And
so you got the Bosa brothers.
Yeah, that's where I was about to go. I was about to – the Bosa brothers come together. Bosa brothers, five.
They come together.
They brothers.
With me, Bobby, but I'm just saying, you just gave Micah all that praise. He ain't above either of the Bosa brothers.
See, but I never played against Micah. So that's why they go into it's not in my thing. I never played against them.
I know, but you
okay. I see it, but it's different on TV.
You're in the off season right now. You're in the off season. You got your analyst hat on.
You couldn't have played
now.
Nick then, huh?
Don't matter. I never played against him.
Well, okay, he's up there for sure.
Ain't no up there. Go ahead.
I'll put Micah.
Give us your top five. We're gonna put a post out there. Bobby Hart's top five unstoppable. Well, we can't say unstoppable.
Aaron Donald. TJ Watt. Myles Garrett, Michael Parsons.
Okay, smart.
And the Bosas.
The Bosas different. You went to school with the Bosas?
Yes.
He played with the Bosas at St. Thomas.
Oh, okay. He went to school with them.
The oldest one.
Yeah, I went to school
y'all
with
used
Jordan.
To battle?
Yeah, battle. He was a young boy too, and you know what I was about to say?
What?
He was coming. I swear, man.
Okay. All right. There goes Bobby Hart's top five hardest to block. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on.
Not unblockable. We'll move on, though.
We can't say unblockable.
So we're gonna play a little game. We have some simple rules.
You didn't want your question answered?
All right. I mean, if he wants
mental.
To. Mental, strength, and speed.
Aaron Donald.
Honestly,
That's just being honest.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna get the strength for sure, but I didn't know.
But mental speed. Like he's another guy. He knows when to make plays.
Yeah,
he knows when to turn it off. Right, he knows when.
Yo, Brandon, what did you do?
I didn't do anything. That's Cam and Mace. Like,
yo, they brought this back.
You know, speed like it's deceptive. You see how he gets off the ball, so.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Just
I thought
his...
Nick to me is very fast, especially for how low he goes. Right. But like he's very fast.
Just a good center of gravity. He's not so tall like his brother. So he definitely uses it. He uses it to his Nick. Both of them, they are both great pass rushers, and they're both in their own perspective.
Got you. So Donald, mental strength.
Dylon.
Yeah, I was gonna say Dylon. Dylon. Shout out to Dylon. Don't know if Diddy did it, but anyways.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Be Dying for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
We're going to play our game today, and the rules are going to be simple. I'm going to give you guys a player's name, and I want you to tell me if you think their 2024 season will be better or worse than last season. And we're going to start with the NFC and the QB of America's team. Dak Prescott, will he be better or worse in 2024? Tad, would you like to go first?
Worse.
Hater.
What?
And I knew that was going to get the shock out of y'all, but look, guys, let's just, again, I've told y'all I'm a fan, and I'm more so I'm a realist. And the only reason I say worse is because in order for him to be better, he's an MVP, he's a first-team All-Pro, and he's a Super Bowl champion. So, I mean, literally, that second-team All-Pro, second in MVP voting, leader in touchdown passes. So the only way you get better than that is to do what I just said. So I'm going to have to just say worse based off of that.
I'm actually going to say better. I envision Dak Prescott going back in time and having that same year or to start finishing the start that he had when he broke his leg. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys was averaging 499 yards of offense a game. He was unstoppable. He was throwing seams to his tight end with three guys on him, putting it only where the tight end can catch the ball. Everybody was on the same page. So now they're talking about bringing back Ezekiel Elliott, which I love from a culture standpoint. I don't know. Maybe Ted can elaborate here. But they said that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott's best friends. You know what I learned about the quarterback position? When I was with Mark Trestman and we had Jay Cutler and et cetera, et cetera. I learned a lot from him about offense and starting with the quarterback. He said, always make the quarterback happy. Protect the quarterback. That's what it's termed. Protect the quarterback. Publicly, privately, from a protection standpoint in the game, protect the quarterback. So I like him coming back. And also, there's something about him and Coach McCarthy. There's something about him. So I say better, Bobby.
I'm going to say better. I'm going to say better from the reason, from the standpoint of I feel like it's do or die for him. Like, it's been so much going in, leading up to so many good seasons, so many playoffs. It's like, you got to give us everything you got right here, Dak. And, you know, just from his makeup of what's been going on, I feel like he's been defeating the odds. He, you know, he went fourth round. He turned into a starting quarterback. You know, they try to faces all the criticism, and he still continues to keep coming and keep coming.
Go, man.
He keeps going.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And he hasn't, you know, crumbled in the midst of adversity. So I think he got it in him for the Cowboys. At least go farther than what they went. I think he'll have a better season.
BC, just because it's Cowboys, I got to get your opinion on this. What do you think?
I'm going for worse. But for all of the reasons that Tad said, though, like, you got to.
You're already at the top of the mountain kind of
thing. You need to accomplish all of these things to actually be better. So, and you know my Giants is going to be a lot better this season, too. So,
Before you go forward, I got to ask you this. Do you really think Zeke is going to make a difference? Like,
no.
Not hating on Zeke, but he has never gotten better. Like, he's only trended down in his whole career. Like, his yards.
What, tell me about his stats last year.
642 yards,
right.
3.5 yards per carry,
yep.
Three TDs.
Three TDs.
That was with the Patriots. The man still almost had double-digit rushing touchdowns his last year with us. And, Andrew, you're looking at the wrong thing. Brandon said the most important part in the beginning, the protection he gives Dak. He becomes a six offensive lineman when he's back there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. But I'm talking about his individual stats as just a running back has always kind of downtrend.
How many carries?
He had 184.
Okay, now go to his last year, which was a year he was dealing with a knee as well, and we said his production was down. What? How many carries did he have, and what was his yards per carry?
That was his last year in
with
Dallas?
Dallas.
He had 876 yards and 3.8 yards per carry.
Okay. And how many carries?
231.
Okay. What I need from Zeke is the culture element, and also what Tad said, protect my quarterback, protect one of your best friends. And then I also would like to see him average whatever it is. If it's 100 carries, 150 carries, 200 carries, I need 4.2, 4.5 yards per carry. That's what I need. And when you go back to that year that Zeke was there, this year that I'm talking about, and this is why I said, and I know we got to move on, where I said this year is going to be better, is they were slinging the rock. Mm-hmm. And it was the pass game that was opening up the lanes for the run game. And, Bobby, you might be able to elaborate on this, how the two work together. Yes. Like, if we running the ball really well, we getting off in the pass game, pause. If we passing it really well, it's going to make the run game easier.
Yep.
And so, to me, this year is going to be built – it's going to live around Dak's arm and his mind, okay? And so that means that now they got to go play coverage – right? And now you got seven guys in a box.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier for Ezekiel Elliott. But did you want to elaborate on it, or are you good?
I'm good.
You good. Okay, we'll
move
on.
We've seen that show already. All
right, we're going to run through the rest of these a little quicker. But Jalen Hurts, better or worse?
He's just mad because Zeke's also like 10-2 against his team. I'm just saying.
I mean, but what has he really accomplished, though? Anything? Nah.
Hey, we gotta calm this down before we go on a 20-minute tangent.
these two
get into it. All right, Jalen Hurts, better or worse in 2024? Gotta be better.
Let's go and keep it in order. You go, Tad, me, Bobby, BC.
Worse, and I say, and again, that's not hating. I told y'all the last time we talked. The only reason I say worse is because again, he's once again going through a coaching change. He also lost his center. Now again, their running game will be completely different, but if we're just talking about him in general, I think it's a little bit worse because I think he still struggles having to learn that new offense.
I say that Jalen Hurts gets better, and the reason why he gets better is because they tried to put a lot on him last year, and that folded. So what did they do? They went out and got Saquon Barkley. They had some nice running backs last year, but they really didn't commit, right? They did too much. They got messy. They got off track. Bringing in Saquon Barkley, he becomes the focal point of your offense, right? So now he doesn't have to just sling it around all the time, and then he still has those two dogs outside. So I think he's going to play smarter football. He's going to have Saquon Barkley as the focal point of his offense. And then also, he is a guy. Jalen Hurts is a guy that's right now probably watching film. He's probably, if he's not watching film, he's working out, he's doing something, he's committed, and this is a guy that's always defied the odds. So I'm going to say better.
I'm going to say better for that reason with Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley has something to prove, going through a lot during free agency, getting franchise tag, not necessarily getting the contract of a super player that he is. So you'll be able to lean on Saquon and also get the ball to those Devontae and AJ. So I'm going to go with better.
I'm going to go with worse for all the reasons Tad said. And just because Saquon's on the team, so they're going to be worse.
Just say it, bro. Just be honest. They got to be worse. You left the blue, Saquon, so you go have an L, bro. Okay, so next up is actually Saquon.
Better.
I think everyone says better. What about you? What about you?
Oh, I went out myself.
BC,
my bad.
BC.
Worse. Yeah, better. Like I said, better offensive line, better situation. The only thing is like I said, I think he'll start getting frustrated when if that tush push starts happening within the 10 to the goal line, like we saw with Swift. But other than that, like I said, he's definitely going to have a better year in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon, have we ever seen the real Saquon? Be honest, right? And Bobby, you know this, man. Like
one year he was He was running all over.
It was his first year. We have seen the real Saquon. Don't
second
that.
Year.
2018. Well, I'm saying this, Bobby. It ain't no shot at, you know, the guy, some of the dudes you suited up with. But he's never really had a top 10. He's never had a top 10, top 15 offensive line. Okay. He's never had it. He's never had it. So this is a team in the Philadelphia Eagles that's been, what, top five, top three over the last three, four, 5 years?
Consistently.
But remember what Ted said, they did lose a central point in Jason.
Yep. You know who they – hey, Ted, you know who they didn't lose? You know who they didn't lose? Howie.
Or Lane Johnson.
but you know who they didn't lose? Nick Sirianni. So he's still there. Like, come on now.
PTE
was a real Giant fan.
I'm a Giant fan too, but I love seeing it.
And you acting like, you know, Saquon don't have his own share of injuries. Y'all think Saquon just going to come out here and all of a sudden be Walter Payton? Like, no, man. Cut it out.
Well, you've seen him be Walter Payton before.
Yeah, 8 years.
That was last year you were calling Walter Payton, I'm sure.
Huh?
Last year, you probably called him Walter Payton.
Nah, definitely not.
All right, next up is going to be Jordan Love. This one's kind of right in the middle. What do you guys think? Where do you start, Tad?
Better. Like I said, he is somebody that has projected upwards in his career. And although Aaron Jones is a phenomenal running back, I think he upgraded with Jacobs, right? They just got Jacobs over there in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a big build up for him. So I think he'll be better this year.
Man, this is an interesting one, right? Because there was reports coming out before he even took over as the starting quarterback that he wasn't looking good in practice. Mm-hmm. And the year before, he played 4 games, had 195 yards and 1 touchdown. So his body of work is just not there. He doesn't have the experience. And then you go back to his college days, he still didn't have the experience. You look at last year now, got off to a semi-hot start, good start. Then he cooled off, and then he just took off, right? 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 96 QBR. He's going to get better. Like,
absolutely.
He looked – and it wasn't just what he did last year when I talked about the stats. It was how he did it. He actually looked good doing it, man. I seen him in person against the Chicago Bears, and he looked good. He looked like he's supposed to be in the pocket. He looked like he's supposed to be a quarterback. So Jordan Love gets better.
I agree. I say Jordan Love gets better just for the consistency. You know, like Taz said, he's not changing, you know, coordinators. He's with the same coach, you know, same center. Everything going on, just getting better. Got Josh Jacobs, and the receivers are starting to come along. They're young, but they make plays. I mean, we've seen that, you know, towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. You know, he don't have some no-names. They may not be, you know, the big names like Davante Adams that left, but they, you know, Watson gets open, Romeo Dobbs gets open. So I definitely say he gets better.
For sure. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, better or worse?
I like Baker. Sorry, my bad.
Ted, I'm
you're on, Ted. Go.
Better. Just like Bobby said, same thing. It's going to be his second year with Bruce Arians. Him and Chris Godwin started to get a little bit of rapport last year. Him and Mike Evans seem to have the same rapport that Mike had with Johnny Manziel when they were at A&M, and this is going to be his second year with Mike. They were able to get Mike's extension done, so he comes into the season happy. Tight end Otten, I think, should be a little healthier going into this year. So, yeah, I think Baker gets better as well.
So we're playing the game better or worse right here on SiriusXM Faction Talk Channel 103. And we stumbled across Baker Mayfield. Does Baker Mayfield get better or does he get worse next year? Here's how this is how I'll answer this. Bobby, when you give a badass kid love, what does the badass kid give you back?
His ass to kiss.
More love, Bobby. God damn.
No, he might be right in 2024.
You give a badass kid love. He from the projects.
Yeah, you know I've been coaching in the inner city. I've been coaching these inner city kids.
But here's the thing. To me, Baker Mayfield like a badass kid. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes obnoxious. And when you really show that kid real love, they give it to you back times 10, right? Mm. So now you have Baker Mayfield in his limbo year. Todd Bowles, who I had as my head coach and defensive coordinator when I was with the Miami Dolphins, head coach with the Jets, This is a guy that's super cool, nonchalant, keep it real. He's never going to do any like low vibration shit, okay? So you got Coach Bowles, who's an awesome guy, keep it real with you, and he's going to give you the love that you need. And then the organization steps up and say, we're going to pay you. We're going to pay you handsomely. Going off of a year where he went from one team to another team to trade it, this is it. Boom. Man, he's feel loved. What is he going to give you back? Like, think about that. The confidence. That. He already has the confidence. Like now he just need a stable environment.
Yeah.
So Baker, I think he's going to get better.
He's just a brash guy, really, if you think about it. Like, Baker is a character, as a person, is just a brash person. But I think he means very well.
That's right.
Yeah.
I feel like you swayed my opinion.
I swayed your opinion.
You swayed me.
There you go.
You got to start showing love, bro. Like,
love, man. Love, for real.
All right. And we have last here, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, this is a big year for him coming out the Super Bowl. What do you guys think, Tad?
I think this is going to be a worse one, and people are going to say it's hate, but again, I think Brock looked really good at coming to season, but I think it's going to be one of those guys that when teams get tape on him, they're going to start to see some of the things he can't do, some of the things he started to struggle with towards the back of the season last year. I think for that same reason, I think they're going to try to ask him to do more this year just because of the season he had last year. I mean, he does have an amazing supporting cast around him and everything to kind of cover those blemishes just like we saw this past year. But when it comes to an individual player, individual statistic, I think he takes a step back.
Brock Purdy takes a step back, like Ted said, and he gets worse. But he gets worse, Ted, because it's the guys around him, right? It's not about him. Like, Brock Purdy is him. He's a really good quarterback. He's a pro. Last year, 4,200 yards passing, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and one of the best ratings at the quarterback position, and also in the MVP discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Deebo Samuels will be able to put that same production out there. Christian McCaffrey. Well, Christian McCaffrey probably had more votes than Brock Purdy at the MVP when it came to the MVP race. Is Christian McCaffrey going to do the same thing, right? And then you got, I wouldn't say disgruntled, because I hate when we ask for our money or if we're a little unhappy, now they say we're malcontent, which this is where I learned these words, all the articles they wrote about me. Malcontent, disgruntled, motherfucker, what the fuck?
What that mean?
Right.
You just wanted your money.
But in Brandon Ayuk, I just wanted my money. Just what's wrong with that? Yeah. Now I got to be malcontent because I said I want my money.
All these names and stuff.
Right. I'm over there Google. Words, bro. That's before Google was Google. I'm Yahooing. Malcontent. Yeah. So I say that because you got Brandon Ayuk out there who, hey, coach, his wife goes out there, well, this is probably our last game in San Fran. Have they gotten a deal done yet? They haven't gotten a deal done, right? So I think that he gets worse because the guys around him won't get better. Make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but you think all those guys take a step back? You didn't even mention Kittle, but you think Kittle, Ayuk, Samuel, C-Mac, they all take a step back.
Kittle is super consistent. He's going to give you this type of production for the next 5 years or so, right? But Deebo Samuels, I mean, look at it. You think Deebo Sam? So let's add him to it.
I agree with you. We both said Brock's going to take a step back. I just didn't think he would say it was because everything around him falls.
So listen, I hope that Deebo and Christian ball out next year, just from a from a fraternity standpoint. But you have to ask yourself: can Christian McCaffrey keep that up? There was a lot of wear and tear last year for a running back.
Yeah.
Right. What year is this? He's going into what? He's hitting that little phase. So I'm not saying he's not going to have a great year, but all year pro?
Eight.
How many?
Year eight. He's going into year
he's
eight.
He's going into year eight. There you go. So then you got Deebo Samuels.
What about you?
I think he gets better. I think he gets better just from the standpoint of his mental makeup, being that last pick of the draft and fighting to be where he is now. He's done all these things. He's just alluded to his passer rating, how high it was. He doesn't throw many interceptions. He takes care of the ball. And I think he's just going to – he feeds into proving everybody wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's been his story you know, coming this far, and I think he does it again.
I agree with Bobby on that one. And he has the taste. He's been there. He knows what it feels like. He's trying to get back to that. You know what I mean? He got close.
Yeah, but
he got close.
Bobby,
unlike
and
some other
NFC
quarterbacks that we know.
Yeah.
I think Bobby and Brandon kind of said the same thing, though. Like, I think, I think he steps back because Brandon said he steps back because the players around him diminish. Bobby was saying that he's gonna get better because his pass rating and everything, how well he threw the ball. He didn't throw the ball a lot that year, Bobby. He had like one of the lowest passing attempts in the NFL because of how well they ran the ball. So if they're gonna ask him to do more, and like Brandon said, IU's gonna be upset and D-Boy's gonna be upset, and he has to put that ball in the air more, all that's gonna decline.
Mm. Yeah. I'm still on the fence because I'm not sure if he's a quarterback or a yak back. I feel like his team gives him the stats that he gets, but we'll move on. We have some new interesting news coming out of the Ravens camp in their offense, actually. And, you know, as we know, it was one of the best last NFL seasons, last season. And Lamar won the MVP award in his first season with the new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. So you would actually think they would keep things the same for the 2024 season. Wrong. John Harbaugh said there is no doubt the offense will look different this upcoming season. So if you're a player on this team, such as Lamar or any other player on the team of a dominant defense offense, are you in favor of making tweaks to this offense?
I think you're always making tweaks. It's interesting. John Harbaugh doesn't take me as a guy that, you know, plays a little cat and mouse game in the media, but he can, right? Like, think about everything that you said. Their offense was really good last year. They were exceptional. And not just like good, like they were explosive. I mean, didn't they beat the Eagles? They blew out the Eagles and put up crazy numbers against the Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers, like the best teams in football, right? So it feels like John Harbaugh is playing a little cat and mouse game in the media, right? Because they got Derrick Henry. But you're always looking for tweaks. Now, different? No. Tweaks? Yes. I think this is John Harbaugh playing a little cat and mouse game. But he doesn't seem to be that guy, but that's what it is. That's what it is.
Okay, fair enough. What do you guys think, Bobby?
I think they should keep it the same for Lamar. Like, I could get with the tweaks, but it's like, you know, everyone was asking for the explosive offense. They were asking for him to, you know, do more. He needed to lead his team more, and he did everything that was asked of him. I felt like he did last year. So it's like, now it's how different is it going to be? Like, if it's not broke, why we fixing it?
Correct.
So like the tweaks are good, but different, I really don't want to see different. I want to see, you know, him being able to hone in on, you know, what was made him successful last year.
You know, I want to say this point because Brandon said this on the show before, which is, last year was probably the least amount of highlights that we've seen because it seemed like they were just a great team.
Mm-hmm.
So why disrupt that outside of the fact that you do have to give Derrick Henry the ball? You get right. what I'm saying? Because he wasn't
But Derrick Henry, he adds on to what they're already doing. He makes what they already did better. That's all it is. Yeah. They're a running team. So I don't see how a Derrick Henry, you know, will change this offense. Be interesting to see.
Chad, do you have any comments on it?
Yeah, the only thing I see changing is, like you said, it makes tweaks. But, I mean, of course, the offense looks different because you have Derrick Henry. So, you know, you don't have I forgot the guy's name that got hurt the last 2 years there is gone now because you're replaced with Derrick Henry. And the only thing that I think would really change is there was a few reports when Derrick was – I think when it came out that Derrick was looking at Baltimore is that he doesn't necessarily like the zone read concept, that he's more of like an I-back guy, that he likes to just get the ball and head downfield. So other than that, I think that may be the only changes we see is that instead of, you know, seeing the J.K. Dobbins, I believe he was got hurt, standing next to Lamar to take the ball, I think you'll see more of Derrick behind him in a true like H-back I formation that you'll see. I think that's the only tweaks we'll really get.
All right. No, that's fair enough.
Hut, hut. 2 minute drill, 2 minute drill. We're in the fourth quarter. We're coming to our last segment of the show. And Andrew, take us through the AFC better or worse. It's an awesome day today with Ted Tuesday. We got Ted Prescott zooming in virtually from Texas with his safe in the back. And don't open up that safe, because if you do, you're going to have some problems. And then we got Bobby Hart, one of the smartest men I've ever been around. He's a guy that within 48 hours had the internet change all of his measurements from the NFL Combine. I thought the internet was like a tech thing, but obviously Bobby knows someone within the internet world. And so we now transition to our two-minute drill, AFC, better or worse.
All right, guys. So we basically playing the same game, but in the AFC, we're going to start with Jackson, actually. Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, better or worse, 2024.
Are we in order again?
Yeah, let's go in the same order.
Yep. Okay. Worse, just because for the same reasons I gave y'all with Dak. Like I said, the only way Lamar gets better is that he reaches a Super Bowl and has a championship. And as strong as the AFC is, of course, adding Derek, he gets a possibility to get there. But no, I don't see it, so I would say worse.
Mm. Man, I'm going to say better. And I'm going to really focus. There's so many things I can focus on. Lamar Jackson, second year with this offensive coordinator, Lamar Jackson – entering in his prime, his mental prime, his IQ is higher than it's ever been. Lamar Jackson more confident. He's paid, right? He's more mature. He's a better leader. But I'm going to go to the single point, and that's Derrick Henry. That can be a quarterback's best friend. Now, does Lamar Jackson absolutely need a Derrick Henry? He don't. But to be able to feel comfortable in a drive, Bobby, 12-play drive, and you hand it off 8-9 times, and you just chilling – and you just holding on to the superpower, man, that's going to make him better and even more efficient in the pass game. So I'm excited to see this. They had a running back by committee type approach last year because they had some guys banged up and go down. Now you have that one guy that everybody got a game plan for. It's going to be different.
Better. 954, Broward County.
Let's go, Pompano. Okay. All right, we got Josh Allen. Better or worse in 2024?
I'm going to say better. I think Josh picks up, cleans up a little bit of the interceptions. Like I said, I think he goes into the lab this year, works with both those tight ends he has, of course, figures out ways to get Diggs. Brady, the offensive coordinator, was figuring out ways last year to get Cooks more involved in the run game. So I think Allen has a better year this year.
B.
Man.
I have to say this before you go. Will Josh Allen be staring into
right. Well, listen,
really how the season
he goes. Fought some demons last year.
Yeah.
He really did. Because didn't you play with Josh?
Yes.
Okay, I'll let you get when you go and you say whatever you want to say. But he fought some demons last year where it's like, I didn't know if this thing was going to go left, but he was able to keep this thing on track, man. I was like, man, the way this dude was staring in the space. Primetime game, knowing the cameras is in his face. He was like gone. He was gone. But then he found a way to still put up another big year, not in the interception category, but another 4,300 yards, 29 touchdowns. He played well. He got this team on track. It was a scary team down the stretch. We're talking about 4 years, 5 years in a row, 4 years in a row, 4,500, 4,400, 4,200, 4,300 yards. The dude is him. But I'm going to say worse because it's worse because – I just don't like this Diggs situation. Like, is he there? Is he not there? Is he happy? Is he not happy? Like, yeah. Right? Like, what's the situation? And they need to get that right. When Diggs is happy, what do you do with a badass kid? And what do you, if you give a badass kid love, what happened?
He give you love back.
Right. We learned.
If you don't, and
tough
you,
love.
What? So they need to give Diggs a little bit more love. Just give him maybe a little cup of extra meal or something.
I say better. I think him and Joe Brady. I think Joe, he's starting to, you know, get comfortable. He came in, you know, during the middle of the season. Now it's, you know, he gets to implement his stuff from the beginning. I think that, you know, him and Josh definitely have a better season, less interceptions. And I think, you know, Diggs, he loved Buffalo. He loved Josh. Where are you going to go with somebody with a cannon on him like that? So
yeah.
You're going to leave and take the chance of going – God knows where when you're going to leave your best bud. I don't think Diggs is going anywhere. He just wanting the ball, just like, you know, Brandon.
Like I, just like Brandon.
When he was down here in Miami, just give him the ball and be happy.
Hey, nah, you know who better. Else loved Buffalo? Bobby, 2021, Buffalo Bills. But also played with the Dolphins. Then went back to Buffalo. Then went to Tennessee. Then went back to Buffalo.
Back Damn. To Buffalo.
What's up with you in Buffalo? Yeah.
It's just awesome, bro. If you're a football player, you love Buffalo.
Nah.
Because there's nothing else to do but play football.
They was cutting them checks.
So it's like you just playing. Yeah. It's like college all over again. Dang. You hang out in the locker room. That's why the team always so tight. You hang out in the locker room with the teammates and play football.
It's cold, ain't it?
Oh, man.
It's freezing up there, ain't it?
Oh, my God. That ain't even a word.
North New York.
I've seen some stuff that, bro, you know, that stuff killed, like, it killed people.
Yeah, that blizzard, that last blizzard.
Yeah, the snow killed people, bro.
Yeah.
He's a straight Florida boy here, but the snow killed people.
He's on so I think snow can kill people, bro.
Yeah. Just like hurricanes,
bro.
Yeah,
you got to be prepared.
Man, and several people died.
Yeah.
This is when I knew Buffalo was, the snow was real, when I ain't see homeless people.
Mm. Oh, like
you know, every city you see homeless people.
Right.
There's no homeless people in Buffalo.
Hey, they were like,
I gotta be homeless in Buffalo.
They were like, I gotta get my shit together. Can't be homeless in Buffalo.
Bobby driving around Buffalo before he's got to, where's the homeless people?
No homeless get, people.
Babe, do you see the homeless people?
No homeless people.
They were free.
Get my act together. All right, guys. Another Florida player here. Tyreek Hill. Better or worse, 2024.
Same. Tyreek Hill's just super consistent. I've been watching him. All off season, he's working the same way he was working in year one, year two. He looks good. He has amazing hands. This offense fits him. This coach loves him. They're going to give him the ball. Like, it's going to be the same production. Now, better, I can't say. Worse, no.
Even killed.
No.
Chad, what you think?
Better. Like, Tyreek was on pace last year for 2,000 yards before he got injured. And I said, if he can keep that injury bug off of him this season, I think he'll hit that mark. So for that reason, I'm going to say better.
I'm going to agree with that. What you thinking, Bobby?
2K? In the air? He definitely was on pace for it, but geez, it feel like every time somebody's on a pace to get 2K, something happened. AB was supposed to get 2K, something just happened. It's just like...
It's tough. It's
jeez.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with worse because it's just, what do you have, like 1,900 last year?
1,799 to be exact.
Yeah, 1,800. Jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's hard to duplicate.
Guys, before we roll, anything that we need to let our audience know about sports tonight? Anything cool happening? We got the Final Four approaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything in golf, Bobby? Anything in hockey, badminton, anything?
No, I don't think we got nothing too crazy tonight.
No, Jake Paul, is he fighting soon? Are you betting Jake Paul and Tyson?
No.
You're not? Are you going to
Can I say something about that?
Please.
Brandon, you lost your damn mind.
Tell him.
Bro, you heard what he said, right?
I mean, I know you only got me on Tuesdays, but I watch and listen to y'all, bro. You crazy. 60 or 70. If this is real... And let me get that said. If this is real, Jake Paul won't last 2 minutes with that man.
Talk to him.
Like, I don't give a damn how much he's been training, whatever. You see how Mike puts guys that he's been training with for years in the corner scared because they didn't realize what punch was coming next. I'll tell you, if this is a real fight where Mike can go out there and swing for the fences, this ain't one of them him and Roy Jones Jr.'s or Jake Paul twitching to let you know I'm fixing to punch you fight.
Mm-hmm.
This shit won't make it out of the first round. Let me ask you this.
Thank you. Do you think it is real?
I do because of the fact I don't think – this is what I will say. I don't think if it's not real, Mike ain't laying down for him. It'll be like it was with the Roy Jones Jr. where they just go the whole thing. There's no way in hell the greatest fighter who the only person he'll say is greater than him is Muhammad Ali goes out on TV at 60-something years old and let the YouTube knock him out. It's not going to happen.
Right. Thank you.
So what happens if Jake Paul does pull it off? Where do we put Jake Paul at if he knocks out 60-year-old?
We don't put him anywhere.
We put him as the greatest wrestler of all time because his fights are staged.
Right. That part.
I don't believe it.
So he in a lose-lose. He knock him out, it was fake.
Nah,
bro.
Damn sure it's fake.
It's fake.
Nah, bro. He's going to be good with it, bro. He's going to be better than Ali.
A real concussion is fake.
Exactly. He's an amateur, man. You putting him in there with a real lifelong, real boxing executioner.
He's 60.
It don't matter. He's 57.
Muscle memory. I got a question.
Muscle memory.
He is 57?
Yeah.
Can you get in there with Mike right now? What you going to do with him?
I'm just going to get in the craziest shape. So if you give me 6 weeks, yeah. No, I need 12 weeks.
You just 12 weeks. Get give me 12 out.
Weeks. I need 6 months.
I'm just going to outwork them.
You're going to get knocked out.
We don't give
out,
a damn about your cardio. It takes one punch.
Yeah, you're going to get knocked out.
That's my point. I'm going to be running around the ring. I'm going to be dancing. Tap.
And then they going to say,
Brandon Marshall.
Hey, yo, and that's the show. This is Ted Tuesday right here on Paper Route. Thank you, Bobby, for coming in the studio. BC, you good?
Good, great.
Andrew, you good?
I'm good.
All right, and that is the show. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.